I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Father, I ask that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a spirit to perceive what your spirit is speaking to each of us this day, in Jesus' name. Verse 28 is where we're going to start, but the one we're going to hit first is 29. Because a lot of times we think it's an accident when someone comes to the Lord. Or we did a job or whatever. But according to this word, it says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son." There's the sonship message. Again, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." So he's not supposed to be alone when God gets done with this church, meaning his church, his body. Now I'm going to take you to the Amplified of the same verse. "For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware, loved beforehand," that's before you did anything, "he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son, and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren." Now we're going to go back to verse 28. "For we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Called according to your own destiny? No, according to his purpose. Amplified. "We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan. For good. For those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose." His design and purpose. It's not about me and you telling him what to do.
Oh, it's not?
No, not quite. And, you know, as I was going over this today, because I was driving when he pressured it in, and it was actually because of the word that I gave to somebody to study, because they were having a hard time. And I said, "Look, you got to remember that God knows what he's doing, and study these two verses." Actually, I gave him 28 to the end. And there was a release that took place. But I want to take you a little bit further with that 29th verse, because in the coordinates of that verse, there's also 1 Corinthians 2:7. It says, "No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God designed for our glory before time began." So you see, if you think it's when you were born again that all things started, I've got news for you. It's before you entered the womb. Second Timothy 1:9 says, "Who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done," not because of anything we have done, "but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." Take that one to the bank. This grace came in when you were in the spirit realm. Say, "Ouch to the brain."
Ouch to the brain.
It readjusts your thinking when you hear this, because you see, all of your experience is in this earth suit that you think. But in reality, a lot of your persecution was designed and purposed to form your heart in the likeness and the purposes of your Creator. How many know Jesus was actually prepared and chosen to be the Lamb of God before the world began? When you put that into the equation and then you put yourself into it, you see the similarity and you see the purposes of his creation. And it begins to fit together so that you don't get bent out of shape when there's a season of trials. Amen? 1 Peter 1, 2. I shared with you last Tuesday. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace to you be yours in abundance. That's what's happening in 2014. Grace and peace be yours in abundance, along with his favor.
Amen.
All right. Revelations 13:8. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. So you see, a lot of times we think, oh my God, it must be an accident that I'm so different. But it's not an accident. It was purposed. One of my conversations this week with a friend of mine was about when God purposed to put Joseph through the test. In Genesis, it says, when he told his brothers, what you meant for harm, God purposed for good. So his brothers were looking and were jealous and couldn't stand his guts. But God used all these trials and prepared them in advance. Now I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Say, does that mean that every trial and hardship that I have had was designed by God to change who I was into what I'm becoming? Ah. See, so it takes all the fake stuff that says, oh my God, it's an accident that I went through all this mess in my life. Now it says, because of God's ultimate purpose, he knows the end from the beginning. He began a good work in you. He doesn't quit till he gets it all done. All things work together for good for whom? Not for the guy that doesn't know the Lord, but for you, because you are ordained to become like him. Did Jesus suffer and did God leave him in that suffering? No. He brought him into a place where he now lifted him out of it and recreated him into a major, major new creation. And we are to become like the firstborn son. Kind of cool, huh? Let's go a little deeper. Verse 30. Amplified. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. Notice, he called. And those whom he called, he also justified. It's not you justifying yourself. He justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition, state of being. A state of being that is so holy that you can't conceive it with your skinny brain. Tell your neighbor, you get a big brain. Get a Holy Ghost brain. Your skinny brain will pull you into the dump. And it'll accuse you. And try to kill you. And make you give up on God. Because you didn't get your way. or I didn't get my way. Amen? So his purpose is at work in each of us. And it is not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident. 31. What then shall we say to all this? If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm purposing to change the words. Who can be my foe if God is on my side? He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, or for me, will he not also with him freely and graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? When it is God who justifies. Notice who justified? God did. Who puts us in right relationship to himself. Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God, who acquitted us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather, who was raised from the dead? Who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as he intercedes for me? As he intercedes for me. Do you see? We think his job is done. He's not sitting on a Sealy Posturepedic. How about a yacht like that? And you're not going to sit on a cloud either. You're going to be busy teaching, counseling, comforting, and loving the broken. You say, I thought I was going to go to heaven and sleep. Yeah, not a good idea. 35. Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation or calamity or distress or persecution or hunger or destitution or peril or sword, even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded beyond a doubt, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things impending or threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now that's a lot to swallow, but I can hope that you catch this. Go over it at home when you have a chance. Because whenever you see yourself kind of, you need a pick-me-up. And it's the word that's going to do it better than your emotions. Amen. And, you know, as I was talking to this person yesterday, and I gave him this scripture, I says, I'm going to tell you what I used to do. I don't do it as much now. But I used to, and I still do once in a while when there's a crash program going on. How many are in the midst of a crash program? Well, get some Post-its. They're not expensive. You can get them at Walmart. Put them on the bathroom mirror. The bedroom mirror. If you have a place in front of the kitchen sink where you have a spotlight, put something there to remind you that God is on your side. Put something in the rearview mirror of your car on the side. Or if there's another little corner in the deck of the car, you might be driving a lot. Put a note there to change your brain, because it is skinny. You've got an eternal mind of Christ available to you. Yes? Mm-hmm. An eternal, not limited, eternal mind of Christ available. And we can pray for it, but it's wonderful if we confess it. Believing you have received, it will be done unto you. Mark 11:24. Romans 10:9-10. If I confess with my mouth, I get what I confessed. What is it that I need? I need a bigger brain. Yeah. I've got an identity crisis. I think I'm all alone. And yet in reality, I'm a part of the body. Huh? You mean I'm a part of you guys? Yes. How many of you had a vision or a word or a press to pray for some of the saints today? Put your hand way up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Why am I doing this? I'm trying to give you understanding that when you go through a trial, somebody's interceding for you and me. Because we are connected. You may not feel connected. You may have all the emotions that are telling you you're a piece of you-know-what floating down the river. But you're not. You're being fed melon. Sweet melon. Close your eyes. Say, Father, let this word be confirmed into my heart. So that becomes a part of the way I think. Because the mind of Christ is much better than my skinny brain. I'm very glad I got one. Even if it's skinny. But it's expanding. To the north, south, east, and west. Until I am overwhelmed.
With grace.
To all the nations. To all the nationalities.
Where I will be ministering.
To many. Down the road.
For his glory.
It's awesome to know that he loves me that much. Do I get an amen?
Amen.